WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and when my next guest retired from the military, he decided to mark that transition with a trip across the continental U.S. and back on his motorcycle. Christopher Holshek, retired U.S. Army Civil Affairs Colonel, and now the author of Travels with Harley, Journeys in Search of Personal and National Identity. Got enough out of it, he wants you to join him on the next one. We'll ask him about the National Service Ride he's organizing for this summer. Welcome to WNYC, Colonel Holshek. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's a great honor and a pleasure to be here.
And the title of your book is a pun on the, or a play on the John Steinbeck Road book, Travels with Charlie in Search of America, in which the novelist went out in search of America in 1960. About when you were born.
That's right.
I think Steinbeck concluded that things were grim in America. Did you?
I think that the conclusion I came to, basically, Brian, is that it's what we make of it. And we are a country that has a great many comparative advantages and a lot of things going in its favor. And we have tended in our narrative to focus too much on the negative and not to understand the power that each and every one of us has to change this country, change our communities, and by doing those, we make the world, in fact, a better place.
You write that every generation thinks things are going to hell in a handbasket, but you say there's reason for that sentiment today?
Absolutely. This is a time of a convergence of a number of different vectors in our history. We have tremendous demographic change going on in this country. We have a tremendous change in the role of America in the world, our leadership position in the world. We no longer dominate, which I don't think is such a bad thing. It just means we've got to get in the sandbox and play nice with the other kids. And that's a different style of leadership, and a style of leadership that I was exposed to as a civil affairs officer, rather than the sort of top-down military command and control version of managing things.
What is a civil affairs officer? Does that mean you deal with people like me in the press?
Well, no. That's the common misperception. We do PR. We're really the people who go out and engage the population. And I would, in fact, say that it is the most dangerous and most difficult job on the modern battlefield. Our legacy actually goes back a long, long way. If you ever saw the movie The Monuments Men, they were a special part of civil affairs where they went and helped to preserve the cultural artifacts of countries. And we like to say we did Germany and Japan after World War II. We do military government. It was our original calling. And now we're here to help transition from war to peace and from military to civilian control.
That's exactly what failed in Iraq in recent years, isn't it?
Oh, bingo. And I talk a lot about that in the book. And then I was there to see it firsthand. And yes, that's right. And we overlooked that. We are a country that invests enormously. And I know you've read some of my pieces on this in Foreign Policy and some other places. We invest enormously in the ability to wage war, but we don't invest in the ability to wage peace. And we get the results that we pay for.
And I know that you're not outside of commenting on the presidential race. You took the presidential candidates to task back in September for talking tough about the use of the military without ever having served themselves, in many cases, calling them the new chicken hawks in Foreign Policy magazine. And I think that was before Ted Cruz put forth this statement for defeating ISIS.
We will carpet bomb them into oblivion. I don't know if sand can glow in the dark, but we're going to find out.
I don't expect you to be for or against different candidates unless you want to.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Do you think that someone who actually served in the military would be less likely to make a statement like that?
Well, Dwight Eisenhower wouldn't have said anything like that. That's for sure. And I would probably say yes. But I think the larger point here, Brian, is that you have to, as a person who's running for chief executive of the United States of America, understand your responsibilities and not just your privileges and your power. And, you know, it sounds great, but, you know, you're sending somebody else's kids off to do and execute the policies, or what Jim Mattis would call the last 600 meters of those policies on behalf of them. And that is an enormous responsibility. I've been in command in combat, and that is an enormous responsibility. And I can't imagine what it's like when you're the chief executive of the U.S.
And I'm sure you wouldn't say that the presidency should be limited to people who have served in the military.
No, not at all.
But on that taking of that intense responsibility to be sending mostly other people's kids off to war, Charlie Rangel, who's going to retire from Congress after so many years representing part of New York City, as you know, at the end of this year, has made it part of his career to call for reinstating the draft on exactly that basis. If you spread that risk around in that kind of way, then there'll be even more realistic restraint that the people in Congress, as well as the president, would have to exercise. Do you have an opinion on that?
Absolutely. I think what I'm trying to talk about, and I talk about this in my book and the National Service Ride and everything, is I'm not there to promote the draft. I think there are ups and downs to that. I think what we're leaning towards here is a greater whole of society sense of service. There are a lot of people that, as you know, thank me for my service, and I turn around and thank them for their service. I thank you for your service, Brian, because you're performing an important service in promoting civil dialogue in this country. And if you don't think civil dialogue is important, go to Syria, go to Iraq, go to Libya, go to Somalia, and you'll see what happens when a country loses that ability. So,
but I'm not putting my physical life on the line.
There are differences, that's for sure, but everybody plays a role, and that's the point. My point in the pieces I wrote for Huffington Post and I write in the book is we have to have a whole of society sense of service. The relationship between a person who has served in a vocation like mine and other people in our society is people who don't belong to that 1% who wear a uniform and put their lives on the line in foreign countries on behalf of others need a country worth defending. And my worry is that we're losing that sense of having a country worth defending, and that requires everyone to pitch in.
And your main concern in the book seems to be that your generation needs to do a better job of passing on the idea of service.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there are many ways to serve your country. And in point of fact, the best way to serve your country is to serve your community. And the great strength of this country is that it's bottom up. It's our communities that make our country great. You know, America is going to fix America. Washington is not going to fix America. We had a bumper sticker, if you will, when I was with the Project on National Security Reform as I rode around the country. And that was that it takes a nation to fix a government and not the other way around.
You write in your book that we're too afraid of terrorism these days.
Absolutely. Look at the threat. Let's understand what the threat really is. And I've seen a lot of stuff coming out recently, and it's all good, that really, you know, hey, look, more people get killed slipping in their bathtubs every year than they do getting killed by foreign terrorists. And we need to put it all in perspective and understand the threat and then respond accordingly. And that was a big part of my Chicken Hawk speech was, let's understand what is the real source of power of these people and respond accordingly. And that's really having a good understanding of both war and peace.
You even compared our lack of domestic gun laws to our response to ISIS in terms of the willingness to take risks.
Well, yeah. And look, and I'm not going to get into that whole debate, you know, about the Second Amendment. I believe in very responsible gun ownership. But at the same time, the point here is that we have to have a better sense of our responsibilities and not just our rights. And so when we do that, It's not hard to find what the solutions are.
So tell us about your national service ride coming up this summer.
Yeah. It's basically, you know, it's interesting. The book which is published by Inkshares, and that is actually a bottom-up process. It's done by crowdfunding. It's an incredibly interesting business model. And it aligns perfectly with the whole theme of my book and my ride, and that is to go out and promote citizenship and service by having this dialogue between people who have lived a life of service like myself and across the generations to explain to people that there are many ways that they can serve. And in fact, when they do that, they have a greater sense of who they are and what they're about. And that's very big when you're dealing with even problems like terrorism. If you don't understand who you are and what you're about, you can't deal with the complex problems that we're dealing with in the world today. And the way you find that out is not through your smartphone or your Facebook. You have to go out and engage people.
So is this something you ride this summer that people can sign up for?
Yes, absolutely. You can just go on www.nationalserviceride.net. You don't even have to sign up for it. I'm going to post the venues. I'm going to post the routes. They're going to start coming out in March and then finalize in April sometime. And you can just join me when you want and then leave when you want. But be part of the conversation. And that's what I'm really asking people to do.
Christopher Holshek is a retired U.S. Army Civil Affairs Colonel, organizer of the National Service Ride, and now the author of Travels with Harley, Journeys in Search of Personal and National Identity. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, the mayor of Hoboken, Dawn Zimmer, on her plan to protect her city from another Sandy, which turns out to be really controversial because a lot of people in Hoboken don't want seawalls that will block their view of Manhattan. Stay with us as we talk to Mayor Zimmer, and we'll take a few phone calls for her, too, on that at 212-433-WNYC.